Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speak podcast. I am Amanda Dolan, and I am joined today by Rocky Michaels. He is an indie singer-songwriter out of California, and he just released his new album at the time of recording today, which is March 1st, which I'm so excited about. I listened to it through twice on my way here to the lake. So, Rocky, thank you so much for being here with me today and being willing to chat about your music and some of your life experience.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, looking forward to chatting.
So, I enjoyed listening to your album on my way in, and the song Firefly, right? That was one that I really just enjoyed because it's talking about, you know, how do I light shine my light the way you do, I guess, is kind of the message I got from it. And I love that. I love the idea of shining a light. So, you know, where did you get that like firefly thing from? Because here in Texas, we don't have fireflies.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You don't really have them, at least I'm not aware of them, you know, very much in California. Every song is special, kind of like our children. You know, you never want to say, you know, we love all of our children equally. Mm-hmm. Some days we love some children more equally than others. But so it's the same thing with songs. You know, they're all special in their own way. With Firefly, it's kind of interesting. I was at my computer. And, you know, sometimes you're at your computer and, you know, on the news feed, stories of interest pop up. Mm-hmm. Just so happened to be a story about fireflies. So I was mildly intrigued and I started reading, and I didn't realize how symbolic fireflies are from different cultures around the world. They can be, you know, a symbol of good luck, of love, and this and that. So I was kind of fascinated by it. And I had my guitar by my side, which I often do. I never know when inspiration is going to hit me. And I decided to go with how we all have a light within each and every one of us. And, you know, the world needs to see our light. The world needs to see us shine. So it was kind of it came together kind of strange bedfellows about sort of lack of confidence and, you know, shining the light. And I just kind of melded the two. And yeah, that's a special song. So I appreciate you, you know, shouting that one out.
So I often talk to people about, like, when you shine your light, it doesn't mean that you dim someone else's, right? It's like, when all of us have bright light, like, one, we all see things better, but sometimes shining your light lights the path for others.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was one line that stuck out with me where the light can shine brightest when there's darkness everywhere. I mean, literally and figuratively. And I just thought, well, that's kind of a cool sort of imagery to try to elaborate on.
It is. And, you know, I know that we chatted for a little bit before this, and you have two sons. And so how do you encourage them and their creativity?
It's, you know, taking a step back, being married and becoming a parent was really kind of a rites of passage for me. You know, back in my college days, you know, I was writing songs about, you know, girlfriends breaking up with me and, you know, this and that. But now, you know, I have I'm grateful for the perspective that I have. And so I'm really trying as best I can to be a role model. And so many of my songs have to do with parenting and relationships and social environmental causes. And, you know, I joke, but kind of with sincerity, if something were to happen to me, hopefully my children will have almost like a living diary of my stories through songs. You know, a number of songs that I wrote have to do with them. There's a song called Wishes, which is kind of a lullaby, which is you know, I penned a letter to our son when he turned 13, to both of them. And I had forgotten about it. And a year or two ago, I was at the computer and I saw it. And I'm like, oh, wow, what a cool message that I wrote to him. So I turned that into a song. And so I'm influenced as a parent in my songwriting because of our children. And I hope they think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool too. And that's, so The Better Man, is that the song? Is that also a song to your boys?
Better Man was a song I wrote to my wife. It's so funny. I had written songs about our children. I wrote a song about, you know, the good old days. I even wrote a song about our dog. I figured, you know, I better write a real wholehearted song about my wife. Otherwise I'll be sleeping with the dog. and it's kind of like what I said. It's she makes me each and every day. She inspires me to try to be a better man, and I'm not always successful, but that was really the essence of the song. And, I was really honored. There's a wonderful organization in Nashville called the Josie Music Awards, JMAs, and Better Man was nominated for Song of the Year in the folk category. I didn't win, but it was among the top 3% to be nominated. So I felt very grateful to at least be acknowledged. You know, it's
I mean, winning is great, but also just that recognition is really awesome. It gets your kind of information, your name out there in front of people. I think that like folk Americana singer songwriter genre is really like making its way to the forefront of music.
I mean, I think, you know, I'm in California, you're in Texas. I mean, I think if you speak about common themes, you know, maybe, you know, people may have different preferences for melodies and instrumentals, but if you speak about common themes, you know, as humans and how we interact, right. I mean, that's kind of universal. And that's kind of seems like it's a core foundation for folk Americana, just speaking about, you know, the real life world. Yeah.
And I think it's that storytelling a little bit more than some of the pop or rock stuff. There's still storytelling there, but I love a good storytelling song.
I found this interesting. It's harder to make things up. You know, it's almost easier, and it sounds strange, it's easier to write about real life situations just because I have, you know, I have these resources at my disposal. And I think part of it too, you have to be willing to share a little bit of your vulnerabilities. You know, you write about situations, you don't know if people are going to connect or not, but when they do, it's just, I mean, that's the best form of reward I can think of, when people say, oh yeah, I totally know what you mean. Or, oh, I experienced that too. I mean, that's for me, that's what it's all about.
And you know, the title of the podcast is When Words Fail, Music Speaks. Because sometimes I'm one of those people, and I'm sure there are others out there, and you may be one of them. If I care about someone or going through something, I'll be like, here, this is like, listen to this song.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, like, if you have that where, whether it's your music or someone else's, that like it, you connect with people through music, I think, in a different way.
You know, for me, it's not always easy for me to have an on the spot two-way dialogue, especially when it's getting heated. And I just, you know, songwriting allows me to collect my thoughts, take my time, you know, exact my message that I want to share. So it's still a way to share my feelings and so forth, but in a more of a controlled environment than just like on the cuff, just, you know, getting into an argument or conversation with someone.
Absolutely. I think that's so much of it, is that ability to, okay, I can't really tell you exactly how I'm feeling, but here, listen to this and it'll get you at least close. And in an argument, or even I think when we tell people we love them, sometimes that can feel so vulnerable, that being like, here, listen to this song that I didn't write. Right. Not really my words, right? It can maybe be a little easier, although you get to use your words in the music.
Yeah, too. Music is universal. And it's in this, especially in this day and age when there's such divisiveness going on, you know, seems like more so than I can remember, just the vitriol and the hate. Music is that, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but I mean it with sincerity. It can serve as that sort of common denominator that can bring us all a little closer. We may have differences at the end of the day, but, you know, hopefully we can find a common thread in music.
Yeah, I think that we all also have different tastes in music. Like, I'm certainly, I don't like rap, or I'm learning more about like metal right now, but I'm definitely like, yeah, I grew up with parents who, and my dad's favorite band was the Kingston Trio. My first concert with Peter, Paul, and Mary. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was the music that I kind of grew up around. But when I got, you know, into even high school and college, that wasn't cool, right? To listen to Peter, Paul, and Mary in, you know, the 90s. People, like, yeah, I thought it was cool. And I think you and I, we're probably about the same age, because I know that your kids are just a little older than mine. You know, like, that music that came out of, I guess, the 90s is so different. Like, you know, I hate to be like, oh, they were all the bad words and the, you know, it was the music you couldn't listen to around your parents. But I guess there's always that in generations. Elvis.
Yeah, I think every generation, there's the parent, you know, saying, kids these days, I just don't understand the music that they're listening to. I'm sure, you know, my grandparents said that to my parents about the Beatles. My parents probably said it to me as I'm listening to the Rolling Stones and Tom Petty. You know, it's the music today. I mean, our sons have introduced us to some, I mean, I actually love Post Malone. I mean, there's some great new artists. I mean, he's really talented, but then there's also some music today that I'm like, wow, that's out there on the radio. You know, you sure you want to portray yourself in that light and talk down about women and, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's every generation, you know, has that experience with the previous generation.
And, you know, it's such a, like Tom Petty, he's one of the best, in my opinion, you know, songwriters out there. Like he, again, also told great stories, right?
With catchy melodies. I mean, even just the melodies themselves are just so iconic and memorable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, as we're talking, I'm like singing Last Dance with Mary Jane. But then I'm also like over here thinking Refugee, right? They're such classic.
Takes you back to your past. Yeah.
It does. And I can think of the video. I think it was Last Dance with Mary Jane. It was an escalator in a mall. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly. And after we are done, I'm going to have to look it up to see if I'm right or wrong on that. We kind of talked about like music is a way to express yourself. And I know that you have partnered with, I guess it's a book that your song is kind of An Uncomfortable Truth is featured in or part of, right?
Yeah.
Called Unsheltered Voices of the, sorry.
Of the past. Yeah. That just came out sort of by accident. So the song Uncomfortable Truth is sung from the perspective of a homeless person. And I you know, I'm sure we've all come across homeless people. I'll see them out here as well. And honestly, I'm conflicted. I mean, I want to help them, but I can't help everyone. And so that always stuck with me. And I was inspired to sort of write a song. The reality is, you see anyone, whether they're homeless or not, you have no idea what their story is. You know, you have no idea what road they may have traveled to get to where they are. And so I wrote this song from the perspective of a homeless person. And I wasn't sure how it was going to be received because it's kind of a specific topic, but I still felt it was important and I felt proud of it. So I wanted to at least put it out there just for immortality. But here's the interesting part. 2 weeks before the song was going to be released, I was just scrolling on social media. I think it was LinkedIn. And I saw this project about homelessness that was going to be released. And I just thought, wow, you know, this, what a great fit. So I reached out to the co-producer, Dennis Patoko, and I said, hey, I really admire what you're doing. By the way, I have this song that's going to be released in 2 weeks. I think it might be a great fit. I'm happy to donate it to your cause, however you want to use it, you know. And sure enough, he responded back immediately. He said, oh my goodness, this is great. This would be a great anthem for our rollout and our promotional and the videos. And so it was just somewhat fortuitous. But I think, you know, I think many of us feel that way when we come across people. You don't know the whole story. You know, don't judge a book. Yeah. You never know if they're coming from, you know, medical issues or, you know, broken homes. And just hopefully it'll inspire a little compassion along the way.
Well, and before we started, I let you know that like both of my kids had the flu this week and somehow I was spared. I don't know how that happened. But I was thinking, you know, I had to take them both to the doctor and they both needed medication and I worked for myself and from home. So I didn't need to take time off from work, but you know, like if, you know, if I had had to go to the doctor too, and my partner had as well, and we all needed medicine, it's $250, $300, even with insurance. Yeah. Then if I had to miss a couple of days of work, and, you know, all of a sudden you're $1,000 out for the month.
Right.
That's with a low paying job. And so that, right, it can be something that simple that gets you to that homelessness place.
And somebody sees you on the street and, you know, you may be, you know, kind of in despair, and they have no idea if you're just, you're grumpy or in a bad mood, or if you got all this weight behind you. I mean, we just don't know. So again, the hopefully the takeaway is just, you know, just go easy on, let's go easy on everyone. Yeah. You never know. We're all trying to, you know,
we're all doing our best out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and with that, like, I think a lot of homelessness comes from some mental health stuff. And there's, you know, all that kind of thing. But we talk a lot about like mental health around here, but I always like to ask about vocal health, because I think people don't always realize that as a musician and as a vocal artist, you've got to really take care of your voice as well when you're performing, when you're recording. So what do you do to take care of your vocal cords and all that during your time?
First of all, kudos to you. No one has ever asked me that question before, so way to go. I'm sure I have a lot of improvements. You know, I'm not coming into this as a singer. I grew up playing the piano, and then I was in a band. I played guitar, and I was never a singer. You know, the band back in the 90s needed harmony, so I tried. I was it wasn't very good, but I kept writing all these songs, and you know, a couple of years ago, I decided I really wanted to put my songs out there. And so I could have chosen to sell them to someone else to sing, but they're my babies, you know? So I tried to sing. So singing has been sort of the weak link. But I've been, you know, I've been taking lessons. To directly answer your question, you know, I have vocal exercises that I'll do. I've been told to try to do, try to stay hydrated. I can definitely feel it. Oftentimes I'll play out, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours at a time by myself. I'm a solo performer typically. So I'm usually hoarse by the end. And so I'll, you know, I'll try not to schedule back-to-back gigs or, you know,
yeah,
it's a great excuse not to have to get in a conversation with the family the next day.
I'm protecting my vocal cords. But I think there's, you know, it's kind of, hydration. I'm always like, hydration, sleep, and nutrition, right? Those are like the things that we need for vocal health, mental health, physical health.
Yeah.
And I think we often overlook those. But also, like you mentioned, rest is a really important piece of that. And I know I said like sleep, but I think rest is different than taking, like going to bed on time.
Yeah, right? You can wake, but you don't have to be running 100 miles an hour doing, you know, five different things. You just, it's okay to kind of take a chill evening or whatever and just plop on the couch and just kind of re-energize. I mean, that's important.
It is. And look, I know that you do a fair amount of performing. Is it pretty local to you, or do you go like out far away from home for weeks at a time?
Yeah, no. I mean, to date, it's been, I'm in California, the San Francisco Bay Area, Northern California. So to date, it's been sort of the greater region. I've gone a few hours north and a few hours south. You know, out here, wineries are a great popular venue. I mean, I can get to Napa in an hour, and there's another town called Livermore, which has some great wineries. And it's a great compatible venue for me as a solo performer. You know, just I'll play the guitar. Sometimes I'll bring a piano. I joke, the more they drink, the better I sound. So, you know, it's motivation to keep drinking. But there's been a plentiful amount of wineries here, and, you know, I've hit some bars and hotels, and it's great. Yeah. I mean, the Bay Area has like, I want to say 4.5-5 million people in the greater Bay Area. So it's an intense population out here.
And you were in you're just east, right, of the Bay Area?
Well, technically in the Bay Area, I'm about 40 miles due east of San Francisco in a town called Danville, which is, it's the east side of the Bay Area where Berkeley and Oakland is, and you cross the Bay and you get to San Francisco. But it's born and raised, but I still, I can hit the beach in an hour. I can go to Napa. I can go to Lake Tahoe, although not this weekend because they're getting a blizzard. Down south, I can go to Carmel and Monterey, and it's just, it's such natural beauty out here.
It's one of the great things about California, right? You can be at the beach quickly or the mountains and ski, right? You could do a little bit of everything.
In fact, if I may, so my last song that just came out 2 weeks ago called Seasons is a song I sing literally about the four seasons. And so when I was preparing the video, I wanted to capture imagery of the four different seasons. And I filmed this all in a weekend a couple months ago. So literally one Saturday morning, I woke up really early. I drove 3 hours to Lake Tahoe for about 30 minutes of video in the snow. That was my winter shot. Came home. The next day I woke up, I went to the beach. That was my summer. And I did a lot of driving, but I filmed that entire music video called Seasons. It's on YouTube. It's all free. It's Google Rocky Michaels. I did it all in a weekend.
Which is, when I looked at the, the cover art for that song, I saw sea and then suns. And I was like, I wonder if he has suns that like he... Before I listened to it or anything, I read like your sons that you're hanging out at the sea with. I don't know why that's how I read that, but
I never see. I should have sent it to you beforehand for like a pre-marketing test because I never that thought never occurred to me. I was just trying to be creative with the cover, but
it's beautiful. I just that was the first like seasons, but also like, hey, son, see this, and like, let's go out to sea. I don't know. That's the way my brain works. It's weird. That's a really beautiful about California that you could get all four seasons in a sense.
Yeah, you have to drive to when we were younger, we would say, hey, let's go to the snow. Let's go to the snow, meaning let's go to Lake Tahoe. And we don't really have it around immediately. Yes. I just love the ocean and the coast.
I think we had four seasons here this week. It was 90 degrees on Monday, and by Wednesday it was 35.
Yeah, wow.
That's
wild.
Texas is just, everywhere it seems like the weather is funky this year.
Yeah.
Now you got, I know you have your two sons, you said are 20 and 22, and you started playing music at 5, 6, is that right?
Well, I took my parents, I'll joke, my parents forced piano lessons on me when I was 5 years old.
Mine too.
But I'm glad they did. Yeah. And I did that for 5 years or so. And, back then, I'm going to date myself, we didn't have the internet. So it's either, hey, go play ball or, go ride your bike or play piano. And that was really a good foundation for me. We would, we would have the piano and I'd go back to it every now and then. But then after college, I started a band with some buddies. We'd play around San Francisco and Napa. I was a piano guy and they were all the cool guitar guys. And just kind of by osmosis, I started learning a few things on guitar and just kind of taught myself guitar. And, I really enjoy having both instruments, it's like cross training. If I'm on the guitar and I can't figure out a chord, I'll go to the piano. Oh, okay, that's a B minor 7. And so it's been kind of a synergistic process for me to, plus the guitar is portable, so I can take it everywhere I want.
Right. A piano, like a true piano, not so portable.
Yeah. You have to lug that on your shoulder a little bit.
And a keyboard, you can take a small electric keyboard places. But so then you had a great experience learning music, piano. Did you force your kids to learn music and as well?
So I didn't force it, but we have a piano in our home and I would play and they'd see me playing. And sometimes in the morning or on weekends, if they wouldn't get up, I'd go in there with the guitar and I'd just, hey, time to wake up, and I'd play a little guitar. So it was always like soft exposure. You know, I didn't force it on them. And they did take lessons. Our youngest son is actually an amazing musician in his own right, and he's trying to branch out. And it's fun. It's because I didn't force it, you know, they have different interests. But I just think having music in general, just music in the house, is just, it's an additional element. It's just, it's wonderful.
It brings you together, but also I did force, and I will use that word, my kids to, they could take they had to take an art elective in middle school or even in elementary school, but I forced them to take music. My son played the violin and the cello. My daughter is in choir, because I think that music, and especially that, like where you're with a group, when it teaches you sort of like that teamwork and how to harmonize and work with other people, but also math. I stand by that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially nowadays, you know, so many kids, and I mean, I'm guilty of it too. You know, we've got our faces in our phones. Music really helps promote that much needed mental stimulation, you know, which bleeds positively into other aspects of life. So I'm a huge supporter of music when it can be shared.
And I don't know about you, but like with my kids, there are songs that are like our songs that we sing in the car together, or, you know, just even at dinner, or we often, less so now, but on Fridays we would have pizza dance party night. And so we would make pizza together, and then we would like dance in the living room while the pizza cooked. Did you all do that? Like, are there songs that are just like for you and your sons, or even just a you and your wife song?
We kind of have different tastes. I mean, growing up, you know, there would be songs that I tried as best I could to really introduce them to, you know, all the wonders of Simon and Garfunkel and James Taylor, you know, you know, we have different interests now. And as they age, you know, from their toddler days to their teenage days now, I mean, their musical, right, you know, interests have changed, but it's okay. I mean, our youngest son will share some songs that he likes, and I'll share some songs, and it's an opportunity. You know, it's probably an example for the rest of the world, opportunity to kind of bring our differences to the table and say, hey, I'd like to share this with you. You don't have to like it, but, you know, here's why I like it. And it's just a great opportunity to engage in conversation and share our differences.
And my daughter, more than my son, but she's introduced me to some artists that I never would have found on my own, because I get stuck in like the same artist, the same song. But like, she's the younger performer. Her name's Lynn Lapid is the first one that she introduced me to. It was the first concert I had been to, because I had to take her, because she was 15 and 14 and like, she couldn't drive herself. And it was in Dallas, and I didn't really want to go, but I was like, okay, I'll take you. Yeah. It was so much fun going and like being in that space of just everyone together. I know that sounds kind of corny, but just that you're all there enjoying the same thing, and there's a community.
Yeah, totally, totally. That's there. Music to do that. Brings people together for sure.
And I think, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary, that was like my first, in the Kingston Trio. But you said like Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
It's funny. So I'll play out the wines. I'll play a bunch of popular covers, and I'll sneak in some original songs. And I didn't realize this, but just for fun, I went back and I added up how many times I played James Taylor, how many times I played, you know, the Eagles. Simon and Garfunkel came in number one. I have more Simon and Garfunkel songs that I'll share. And so I think that's just a testament to how influential they were. And I didn't realize it, but I've always been a huge admirer of really great lyricists, and Paul Simon, it's
there's so many.
Never get old for me.
No, and I mean, even just, I'll share this, and it will lead to another question. So a million years ago, it feels like now, we adopted a puppy. I'm just trying to figure out, it's tiny little long-haired dachshund sitting in my lap. I'm trying to figure out like what we're going to name this dog. And all of a sudden, Paul Simon comes on, and I'm not going to sing this to you because I don't want to hurt your ears, but he said, you can call me Al. And right then the dog started kissing my face. And I was like, Albert, that is your name.
I was thinking, okay, is Al, is it Cecilia? Is it the boxer? Like, what are you going to name the
There's
dog?
There's so many of them, right? Yeah. And then like Cecilia too. That was a song that we sang, which is kind of inappropriate now that I think about it, in my music class, or not music, my math class. Every Friday we would sing Cecilia with my math teacher, Mr. Haas. Hey, Rick.
Great song.
Probably listen to this. But I remember that. But you said you have one dog. I know the ASPCA and Humane Society are passionate about this.
So back in growing up, our very first dog was a dachshund. And she was the runt of the litter. So my parents named her Runtle for the runt of the litter. And that was the only dog I knew. And, you know, it was wonderful. But I just had such wonderful memories of growing up in a family with a dog. So when we got married and we had kids, we have he's a 10-year-old loving golden retriever named Jackson. In fact, I would joke when we would get him, I used to refer to him as Jackson Brown. And my kids were like, what? So I had to explain. But and also where we live, there are deer and rabbits and turkey that can come right onto our court and our lawn and our grass. And it's, you know, I keep reminding them, you know, they were all here first before the buildings and construction went
right.
up. So I've always just been, I've just always had a fondness for animal and animal rights. And, I'm in California, so we're all a little different out here. I mean, I'm a vegetarian and
I'm a vegan.
Okay.
So I'm in Texas and I'm a vegan. So just, okay. And I spend about half my time in a town called Gun Barrel City. So you can I don't necessarily fit in here, but
it's all individuals and who we are. We all have a story, but I've always, it's always been, they can't speak for themselves. I mean, they can communicate, but they can't speak human words. So, right. That's been very special for me to be able to, you know, to offer a little donation and give a shout out on my website.
And you said you wrote a song about your dog.
I did. I haven't produced it yet. I haven't put it out there. I've got a whole stockpile of songs that. So Seasons was my 30th song that I just released. I typically put out 10 songs and then I wrap it into an album. But I'm very selective as to which song to put out there. And for better or for worse, I mean, I have a. My pipeline is full of songs. So I'm just that's why I don't sleep too well. Cause I'm always thinking of, I get song ideas, but I do have a song for our dog. I'm drawing a blank, but I wrote it a few years ago and he's great. He'll sit next to me. He's heard all my songs before and he doesn't move. And he just likes, I think he's used to the guitar. I actually want to say, hey, I'm going to play guitar. He'll like, he knows what that is.
They're smart. They know. You talked about too, like, you know, you've got all these songs now, like in the pipeline, you said they're waiting. You also mentioned that you were in a band and then decided like, nope, I want to sing my own song. Something I've always like been curious about is that as a singer, songwriter, or as a songwriter, you said they're your babies, but so how do you decide if or when you're going to give one of them to someone else?
I don't know if and when I get to that point, I'll let you know. I mean, I haven't really sold my songs to anyone else. I mean, in the band, and we practiced for a few years, but then one of my buddies moved up to Oregon, and it just, you know, we ran its course, but we're still friends, and it's all wonderful. But all my songs, that was my motivation for really trying to work on my singing and vocals, because I wanted to be able to sing it and express myself coming from the heart, you know, because I'm singing about things, topics that are inside of me. So, you know, while I might not be technically perfect, I'm authentic in my delivery.
And I think that is when people connect to music, is when they can hear in the artist's voice, like, that emotion, and that they've connected with the music as well.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's all about connection. I've played in front of a few hundred people, and I've played, I think, in as little as six people. But sometimes those smaller venues, you know, it's so intimate, and you can talk and explain your songs and asking questions. And it's great. It's, you know, when people nod, or you say a line or a lyric, oh yeah, I totally, you know, I was thinking about my spouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, that's, like I said, that's just the best reward for me.
And I do some public speaking kind of things, but I would rather have a crowd of 2,000 where I can't, like, you know, like, I don't feel like I have to talk to one person. You get me in a room with five people and I panic. I'm like, they're all paying. Yeah. So I don't know. It's funny how we all have different, you know, comfort level with who we surround ourselves with and how we perform or get our message out there.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the dynamics too. You know, maybe if it's a topic that everybody's really supportive of, you know, that can make it easier. But if it's a speech and debate type of situation, right, you know, that, you know, there's confrontation, that might not be as pleasant.
And yeah, music tends to bring people together. I know, of course, you know, some of us don't love, like you said, the music our kids listen to, or the lyrics of songs can sometimes be divisive, but not always. I don't think your lyrics are remotely divisive. They feel very, for me, I connected with a lot of them. I really enjoyed, you know, listening to them. And I don't know where I got this, but I wrote in my notes, music unites us. Why did I write that?
By the way, I am very G-rated if I were to give myself a parental guidance. I think that's been a message. I think I shared that before in other little video snippets, how music is the common denominator, as I said before. Just bring us all a little closer together. I have another song called Somewhere, which oftentimes, it wasn't on this last album, it was on my second album. But when I'm playing out, often that'll be the last song that I play, just because it's a song about togetherness and building bridges in our society. And I, you know, my intent is to have people leave the venue with some positive vibes and positive mojo. You know, you can shake a neighbor's hand across the bridges, and you can share a common view on top of the ridges or something. So it's an attempt to try to, you know, share some commonality.
I think that's beautiful, because I think that when we take a moment and pause, we often have far more in common with each other than we think in the beginning. Open conversation.
You know, I mean, it sounds corny, but I mean, we're all brothers and sisters on this earth. You know, we may live in different places, have different cultures, different beliefs, but we all share this earth. You know, we got to figure out a way to cohabitate.
There's and I'm sure you've heard of her. Now, she wasn't as popular or as well known until, but she did win a Grammy for a Best Americana, I think, song this year. Brandi Clark has a song called Like Mine, and it's like your heart's like mine and it breaks like mine. And I think that's the thing, is we're all similar. You know, we're not exactly the same, as we talked about, you know, but finding that where we're common together, like what we, humanity, just live in that humanity. And I mean, if you think about how many thousands of years has music been a part of humanity and culture?
Absolutely. And,
you know,
that is
all
such
the way.
An important message to try to share, especially these days. As I said before, there's just so much ugliness going around, you know. Just take a chill pill, listen to some music, you know,
have fun, don't take things too seriously. Like, there's another line in one of her songs that's, the only time we meet in the middle is to fight. And there's so much truth in that. It's like, why don't we just go hang out? And I think that when you go to a show, at least I know when I do, I'm there for the music. I don't know how that person, you know, next to me voted or what tax bracket they're in necessarily, right? You're just all there enjoying a band you love.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned Meet in the Middle. That's another song idea that I haven't produced yet, but I think the line of the song is, I'm from Mars and you're from Venus and there's a million miles between us But the message there is to try to find compromise, not to meet in the middle to fight, but to find compromise, to have each side give it a little bit. So you can interpret that in, you know, a couple different ways.
And I think that, like, well, so I work with clients and I talk about, like, the difference between compromise and collaboration, right? With compromise, you kind of each give up a little something, but collaboration, it's really about, like, working together for the greater good. But that got me thinking, collaborations, do you collaborate with any other artists, or are you solo right now?
I'm open to it. I haven't yet. I guess for two reasons. One, again, for better or for worse, I don't have a shortage of ideas. You know, sometimes I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and I'll have a song idea and I'll put a little note on my phone, you know, so I don't forget it the next day. So I've got a good stockpile of ideas. And also, I'm totally open to it, but I don't know how to go about finding someone who I would be compatible with. Maybe I'm just, you know, because my well hasn't run dry yet, I haven't had the need to explore that yet. I think it would be good for me, a good learning process to try to collaborate. But to date, I haven't. All my songs have been my own. And
I'm wondering, maybe your son, who you said he's a great musician. I don't know. I wonder, like, your music tastes are probably different, but that might make for an interesting collaboration.
He started out with rap, but he's been getting more into the singer-songwriter. He's 20 years old, and there's some really good young, you know, 20-year-old singer-songwriters out there. And I'm not trying to force him. You know, he's got to find his own path. But and he's got his lens on as a 20-year-old. I've got my perspective as a year-old. And it's any opportunity to just get, jam and chat and share life experiences.
I'm curious, like, you know, and I will talk about it in a second, but, like, you still have CDs, and I know I said still because, like, there was a joke. I was talking to someone the other day, and, like, our newest car, we don't have, there's not even a CD player in it. Like, no. To get a CD player in the car was an upgrade. But, right, like, with TikTok especially, but, like, Instagram, YouTube, all of that, people can get, you know, their songs out there more. And I think that that's especially true for younger, I sound so old and I'm like,
yeah,
the younger people putting the music on the TikTok. Not that old, But like, how do you think that's changed like the music industry?
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. I hardly sell any CDs. I still have them. I mean, every now and then, you know, I'll get somebody to buy it here or there. And, you know, I joke, well, if you don't have a CD player anymore, you can always use it as a coaster for your drink or Frisbee. But I'm offering both the physical CD as well as the download stream. And this is where our two boys have been my chief technical advisors of the, you know, the house. Here's how you know, telling me about hashtags on Instagram and Spotify, and it's a whole new world. But at the same time, I mean, technology has been such a blessing to be able to put more control in the hands of the independent artist. You know, I don't have a traditional record label. I have joined with Big Records out of Vancouver, and they're wonderful, but I can still retain 100% rights to creativity, my own. I can do whatever I want. They're simply there to amplify what I'm already doing. Going off tangent, but technology really, you know, has allowed me to, you know, all my posts on content and even my videos that, you know, with the, it's amazing what you can do with a tripod and a smartphone, and you can make some great music videos. So most of my videos are self-made.
Well, and I think even recording music, right? Like, of course, having a solid, you know, studio with a great producer makes for a great song, but you can record something on your smartphone or get a decent microphone and you're a good computer and you can mix your own.
Yeah. The last several songs I've worked with a producer, a wonderful producer in Nashville called Stacy Hogan. But I'm in California. He's in Nashville. I've never met him in person. You know, I would send him a scratch audio file and then we chat about it. And then he might have some session musicians record some background. I might lay a piano and send it back to him. You know, I lay my vocals and we're ping ponging audio files electronically, you know, 2,000 miles apart from each other. And I've still never met him, but you couldn't do that 10, 20 years ago.
No. And I mean, I even think about one of my favorite like music stories is Led Zeppelin and Whole Lotta Love. And, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of tape left to record on. And so there's that bleed through that ended up happening with that.
It's good trivia. Sort of,
yeah. Echo of Whole Lotta Love. It's just funny. I found that out from my therapist because he would talk about like, you know, there are messages that we have that don't work for us anymore. And so like, you know, we record over that tape. And yes, young people out there, that's not going to make sense to you. But like if you record over something enough on a tape, right, it bleeds through.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That bleed through, do you use it to create something beautiful or do you use it to beat yourself up with and to keep, you know, using that message that wasn't working? So he used that example and I still do because it's a great fun piece of trivia.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, speaking of old technology, I mean, my first memorable exposure to music was the old 8-track tape players, which I'm sure young kids are going to probably Google or, hey Siri, what's 8-track tape player? Oh, my Siri just turned on. Sorry about that. Yeah, technology, it's amazing. It's but again, the takeaway is we can do so much more as independent artists in this field with the tools we have these days.
Yeah, and I think I love that, you know, back and forth with somebody 2,000 miles away that you can create a song and never be in the same room.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. It's just haven't had the need to, and but I would. It's still just like, you know, you can go on a synthesizer and play piano, but if I had the choice, I'd love to go to an actual piano. It's just you can't truly replicate that. So I'd love to go into a physical studio. I just haven't had the need to, and you know, I've only been to Nashville twice, and I haven't hooked up with them yet. But one day I will.
mean, I do love Nashville. I just, my best friend and I, who lives outside of DC and I live in Texas, so we're meeting in Nashville in about a month. So just a great city. It's where you, I think it's like the songwriter place, right? Like LA is the pop star, movie star, but Nashville is.
I was fortunate. I played at the Bluebird Cafe and I played at the Commodore Grill, and it was just, you know, one song here and there, but just the experience. I mean, walking into the Bluebird was just halls of history. I mean, it's such an iconic place.
I mean, I think just in LA too, but Nashville to me, like that's where the music is. I mean, Grand Ole Opry, like how do you, I don't know. For me, and the Ryman, like those are some places that are just classic.
When I first went to the Nashville airport, I got such out of kick of walking through the gates, and every other gate there was a stage and a performer. I'm like, all right, hey, I'm home. this is awesome.
I almost missed a flight out of Nashville once because I was so like into the musician that was playing at that gate or just outside of that gate, which again I guess speaks to like music and how it can draw us in and
sure
like create that incredible connection with each other. I think you should just, you know, go hang out in Nashville for a week or two, record some songs, you know, play at the Grand Ole Opry because it's so easy to just, you know.
Oh yeah. Hi, yeah, just, I'm Rocky. Come in.
Just play like a couple songs from the stage. But I think it's that place, you know, the Grand Ole Opry, Ryman, whatever, those are places that I don't know, there's sort of those dream stages, I think, for a lot of artists. Yeah. Do you have like a favorite local kind of venue? We talked about wineries, but is there like a favorite dive bar or venue that you just love?
There have been so many, mostly wineries, and they're such beautiful venues, especially in the spring and summer. You can play out back, with the vineyards behind you, and I don't have one particular favorite. I enjoy the opportunity to play and share my music and have an engaging audience. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I'll play, like I said, I'll play in front of three people or 300 or 3,000. Just want to share my music and share my stories through song.
I love that. I love sharing my story through other people's songs because I can't. Maybe I can. I don't know. I've never tried to write. And I play the guitar very poorly and I sing not so great. But I was like, I'm going to like really learn to play the guitar. So I bought myself a Seagull because I was like, I'm going to like get a good guitar. So I'm excited. And then it sits behind my desk at home and I don't play it as much as I would like to.
I'll never say that.
Oh, I probably no one wants to hear me. Thing. My children, I drive them crazy with my singing often. But that's my job, their mom, to annoy them with music and to teach them the good music, right? To show them the greatness that I grew up with, even. I know we talked about like our.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the. And I still, my son hates when I tell the story, but I don't care. He's 15 now. When he was quite a bit younger, Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe song. Right. You know, it was like the anthem of the Olympics that year and it was all over the place. And he loved that song so much. And he would sing it. We have a whole dance that we do together because we're car dancers and it's fun to have choreography to music. And to this day, if I play that song and it's just the two of us, either in a car or my daughter too, but if it's like there's none of his friends around, no one can see him, he will sing and like big smile on his face. And sometimes like if he's in a bad mood, especially on the way to school, having a rough day, I'll turn that song on and he'll try to be grumpy still, And man, like you get to that first chorus and he's like,
He starts, it takes
yeah,
over.
he's just like,
Pavlovian.
there's
Yeah.
something about the songs that you love that just make your mood shift.
One of my fond memories is as my young son was learning to play guitar. Yeah, he really just ramped up real quickly. One time he said, "Hey, Dad, I learned this song," and so I came in and he played it. It was "Dust in the Wind" by Kansas. I don't know if you remember that song. It's like back in the 70s, but it's got a very cool acoustic intro, guitar intro, and he took it upon himself to learn that. It's like, oh, a young man after my own heart. Kansas, "Dust in the Wind." What a great song.
And now, like I mean, I don't, the probably there's not the joke anymore of like being at a live show and somebody yelling Freebird. Does that happen anymore?
Just
No,
as
I
a
think, yeah. Just anyway, I don't know if people could play it, or will. So we always wrap up interviews with this question. Like, what is like a song or an album that just like hits home, makes you feel all the feels, but you just can't even describe to someone else like how meaningful it is to you. Really put it into words. Do you have an album or a song that's that for you?
of mine or just
No, in general, just yeah.
there's one that comes to mind. So about 20 years ago I had a health scare. I'm totally fine. I actually had a ruptured brain aneurysm, which is crazy. I shouldn't be alive, but I'm fine. And shortly after that, a few years after that, Tim McGraw had a song called "Live Like You Were Dying," and just the message of the
Great song.
song, you know, just you just we have an expression in our household, YOLO, you only live once. Just so that gave me the precious gift of perspective. And when I heard the song and the lyrics, it just reinforced, you know, you can sleep when you're dead. Just go and live life to the fullest as much as you can, even though it might be exhausting at times. Make as many memories as you can, during and just color your life as best you can. And so that's kind of been a guiding light for me, and it really, really stuck with me.
Well, I'm glad that you are still here and have had that the ability to live like you're dying, although I will not die anytime soon, either of us. We've got a lot of living left to do. I feel like that's a lyric to a song,
Hey,
but I
plenty of
don't know.
notes. A lot of living you can do. Let's see. Okay. She's gonna sing on it. Okay.
No, that is, nobody will listen to it. I'll talk or stand in the background of the video and smile, but probably not sing. Before we go, is there anything else that you want to share about yourself, your music, anything?
Thank you for the time. Appreciate having me on. It's been wonderful. In fact, a lot of times I forgot we were still recording. It was just so nice and calming to just have a nice conversation with you. But if anybody's interested, my website has all the links, just rockymichaelsmusic.com. And from there, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, again, with the help of my kids, LinkedIn, YouTube. Many, not all, but most of my videos have music. I'm sorry, most of my music has videos, so you can always go to YouTube and just type in Rocky Michael's music. And if you go on, listen to a song or watch a video, drop me a line. Say, "Hey, I saw the video," or this or that. I love to hear, and I always try to respond back to everyone who shouts out. So I appreciate
And
the time.
then you also like people that sign up for your rock stars, which is your mailing list, fan group. All right, you're giving away CDs or downloads to 10 people that.
Yeah, so I just did that today, in fact. I mean, good timing, March 1st. So there's going to be a drawing on Wednesday, March 5th, whatever what date Wednesday is. For anyone new who signs up to the Rockstars website, and you can do it on my website, I'm going to do a live drawing on Facebook, and the 10 names I draw will have the choice of either those physical drink coasters, I mean CDs, or an electronic download. But then after that, once that ends, anybody who just signs up in general, you know, you can get a free download or a sheet music. Once the drawing ends after Wednesday, I'll go back to that. And yeah, who doesn't love free giveaway?
Everyone loves free stuff, right? I mean, and it's a great opportunity to find out for sure when new music comes out or you're playing somewhere so people can come see you live.
Yeah, I don't post a lot, but every now and then with a new song or this or that, I'll just, and you can opt out anytime, just like everything else.
Yes. Well, Rocky, thank you so much for being here, sharing your time from California. And I know you all can't see this out here in podcast land, but there's the most beautiful like landscape behind you with these trees. Oh. It looks beautiful.
Free skies. I don't know,
you might not be as beautiful where you are when you're looking out the window, but it is gorgeous from my view. So thank you so much for sharing your time and your talent with us and your stories.
Thank you so much.
And so that is the end of another episode. And thank you guys for listening. And always remember that when words fail, music speaks.